This episode is sponsored by Crunchmaster, a better-for-you cracker that fits into a mindful, modern lifestyle. Crunchmaster is committed to creating crackers using high-quality, wholesome ingredients like California-grown rice, sesame, quinoa, amaranth, and flax seeds. Their full-flavored crackers are oven-baked to deliver seriously crunchy satisfaction. Look for Crunchmaster multi-seed crackers, multi-grain crackers, baked rice crackers, and popped edamame chips at your nearby grocer or visit crunchmaster.com. It's A Couple Cooks, the podcast with Sonia and Alex Overheiser. We're a couple on a mission to find the tastiest good-for-you eats you can make in your kitchen, because the way we eat can make a meaningful difference.
Join us as we chase after real good food through stories, recipes, and conversations about cooking at home and eating well. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sonia.
And this is the A Couple Cooks podcast.
A show about cooking, life, and everything in between.
Gets kind of messy sometimes.
Speaking of that, we talked about some messiness in our life in the past episode. We told you about our story with food and kind of some bumps along the way. Thank you all so much for your kind and generous responses to our story.
We loved hearing from you on our website at acouplecookspodcast.com and on Instagram and email. So thank you for all those responses.
We also heard from B&E Photography. She said she listened to our podcast last week and loved it. You make cooking and nutrition approachable and something to be inspired by. Thanks for your authenticity and sharing your story. Thank you so much for that comment, Erin. That was so kind. And we feel like it's just important for all of us to share our stories. And we'd love to hear from all you listeners out there about the journey that you're on.
We also got a lot of feedback on our episode 27, The Best Way to Lose Weight.
We got an interesting comment on Instagram from Hanzi13. And the comment was that my partner and I love to cook, and funnily, it has made healthy eating more difficult for us. We've gotten used to making elaborate recipes, and our biggest struggle has been finding an organization method and motivation to cook simpler, healthier meals, especially during the week. I'm like, go big or go home, and by go home, I mean eat out, which is bad for my wallet and my waistline. So yeah, that's a struggle that we hear from a lot of different people, and a struggle for us in the beginning as well. It's hard to find those simple go-to meals for weeknights and then balance that out with more elaborate meals on the weekends. And it's just something you need to get into your own rhythm. There's no real right or wrong, but just kind of exploring and trying to find some simpler concepts that are also tasty and achievable on a weeknight is really important.
It's not uncommon for us to talk about failures in our kitchen here on the podcast, but today we're going to take it on a more positive note and talk about triumphs.
Right. We have cookbook author Julia Tershin. She has written several cookbooks with big names like Mario Batali and Gwyneth Paltrow, but today she's sharing about her very own cookbook. It's called Small Victories, and it's all about those tips and tricks that can help to build kitchen confidence.
And I have to say, she's just the most lovely person to talk to, so I say we jump right into it.
Julia Tershin, welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to chat with you guys.
Well, we are self-proclaimed cookbook nerds. We have a huge cookbook shelf of wonderful books, and so we are just so honored to have you here today. Unlike some of our other guests who we've had who've been first-time cookbook authors, you're actually pretty experienced. You've worked with a lot of big names like Mario Batali, who we had on a previous show, and Gwyneth Paltrow, and now you've written your own cookbook. So I just wanted to hear a little bit about maybe what it's like to work with other people and then how you made the decision to write your own book.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm definitely right there with you as a cookbook nerd and have been
We're
forever.
In good company.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I've spent the last, I guess, about a decade working, collaborating with other people on their cookbooks, and it's something I still do. And I had the opportunity to do my own, which just came out, Small Victories. So it was a great experience, and it was definitely there was a lot that felt very similar working on my own versus working with other people. You know, in the end, I'm making the same product essentially, but there were a lot of differences. And the biggest one was just logistic, which was when I collaborate with people, I would say the most sort of time consuming part of the process is just scheduling and finding time to meet with them and talk to them and interview them and cook with them, you know, all those kinds of things. So working on my own meant that I didn't have to, you know, wait for anyone's time or schedule anything. I just had to sort of be kind of self-disciplined and schedule time with my own self. So it was, yeah, I think that was like the biggest logistic thing. And in a way, the process went a bit faster. And the sort of biggest, I would say, like emotional difference was, this is just the most personal thing I've ever worked on, which was really just a total joy to be able to kind of reflect on my whole life through food and write down these stories, and also find the things that I consider small victories, the sort of like tips or techniques that are attached to each recipe. So it was about, you know, my own life in the kitchen and my personal stories, but it was also just as much about, you know, helping to empower other home cooks to feel really comfortable so that they can, you know, make their own memories.
Right. And that's what we really love about this book, is the small victories of each recipe. And when you say your life in the kitchen, I know you've been cooking for your whole life, yeah. Right?
Yeah. I mean, really, since before I can remember, it's always been just my total passion, and the thing I'm just happiest doing. So yeah, since I was a really, really little kid.
That's awesome. Yeah. We started maybe 10-ish years ago. So we love this book, that it's such a wide array of experience from a life lived in the kitchen.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I thought maybe to illustrate a small victory, we could talk through a recipe we just made from your book, which is Blood Orange Granita.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, which we'll be releasing on our website on Halloween. Fantastic. Which I thought was a fun pun with the blood.
Yeah.
And so we made this recipe the other day, and the first small victory you have here is go for anything with a single ingredient and little effort. So we thought that was fabulous. I mean, all we used was just the juice from the blood orange. There wasn't even any sugar, and we put it in the freezer. And then after a couple hours, just scrape at it with a fork and you have a granita.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's definitely more complicated ways to make granitas, but I think if like the simplest route to anywhere still gets you there and it's something really delicious, then that's, you know, that's the road that I want to take for sure.
And we love this recipe. I made it with my mom and stepdad, and they were blown away. They're like, so all this was orange juice?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, blood oranges. They taste delicious, and it's an incredible dessert. And so it was just so fun to share that. And
I think
they went home making plans to have it at their next family get together.
That's so awesome. I love that. And yeah, to me, it's all about like, and then you layer it with basically cream.
Yeah.
So you get that like frozen, like cold, crunchy, acidic thing layered with basically the opposite. And, you know, it's two really simple things, but the marriage of them, like the sum is greater than the parts. And it was for me totally inspired by like a creamsicle, basically, like an orange Julius. And I just always love that combination. And the other sort of great small victory part to this recipe is, because, you know, it has to freeze, like you have to do it ahead. You don't really have a choice. So it means, you know, dessert is crossed off your list. Like you can know that it's done and it's going to be great. And all it required you to do is like pour some juice into, you know, whatever vessel you have, and then essentially forget about it. Like my favorite recipes are like where you put something in the oven or the freezer or the stove and then just walk away. Like that's, to me, is the best.
Absolutely. That was something we learned early on in our cooking, where if you can get dessert out of the way first, it's a win.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Good. Well, you remembered your second small victory. I was going to test you.
Sorry. So good job.
Great. Well, do you have any other small victories or just recipes from the book that stand out to you?
I mean, that's a hard question. I feel like they're all like, you know, each recipe does have at least one small victory sort of attached to it. But some of the ones that I tend to mention just as a good example of sort of what's in the book, one is it's also in the dessert chapter. And it involves using pomegranate seeds. And the small victory is all about getting the seeds out of the pomegranate without making a mess. And I think I referred to it as like without like basically making your kitchen into like a Jackson Pollock painting, like when the juice goes everywhere. And it's just, you know, if you're wearing a shirt you care about, it's like usually kind of over.
You go on YouTube and they tell you just to whack it with a spoon and that's never pretty.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of fun. Like you get to be like a drummer for a minute, but I think, the way that I've always done it is just fill a big bowl with water, like a big mixing bowl. And then cut the pomegranate like in half, just get into it somehow. And then, do the whole thing underwater. So you put the fruit underwater and you pick out the seeds. And basically what happens is all the seeds sink to the bottom. And then all that white sort of pith stuff that you're not really interested in eating, it floats to the top. So it's very easy to separate the two because you just sort of scoop off the white stuff at the end. And then you've got these like perfectly rinsed off seeds. So that's nice, but it's also nice because none of the juice is flying in the air. Any bit of mess stays underwater. It's also like I find it like a very relaxing thing to do. So,
yeah, I kind of do too. I feel like it's somehow soothing, a little Zen practice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's a good one. And then another example that I really love is in the breakfast chapter, it's the chilaquiles recipe. Chilaquiles is just like one of my favorite things to eat. So I love it for that reason, and if anyone hasn't had them, it's essentially chips and salsa that you cook. So it's like you use tortillas that you either use like, you know, pre-made tortilla chips or you fry corn tortillas and then mix them in a pan in a skillet with salsa. And you basically wilt the tortillas. And then I like them with fried eggs and like eating it as breakfast. But to me, it's such a great example of the small victories because the whole purpose of chilaquiles is a way to use like leftover or even stale tortillas. And I just love when you have an opportunity to use something that you think, you know, doesn't really have any life left in it. And then it turns into something so much better. Like I would take chilaquiles. I mean, I don't know. I love a fresh corn tortilla. I'm not going to make that claim, but I just love when you can give something a little bit of new life and it is so, you know, it's such a wonderful thing to eat. And that recipe also, the salsa is really easy to make and it's delicious and you just roast tomatoes and onions and then put them in a blender or food processor. You could even use like a potato masher and then mix them with some like lime juice and cilantro and it's super easy to make, but it like has so much flavor. So in learning to make the chilaquiles, you also learn to make this like really delicious salsa that can absolutely stand on its own. So it's kind of like it's a nice like 2-for-1 kind of recipe.
Yum. I think it's a small victory to be able to eat nachos for breakfast.
Yeah, too. For sure.
For sure. Innovation.
Oh, nachos for breakfast would be a good title. I like that.
The whole cookbook, maybe.
Yeah. Hey, I would buy that.
Well, I do want to go back to this blood orange granita for 1 second. Not only is it delicious, but also Ina Garten has enjoyed it.
Yes, that is true. Yeah.
You just kind of name drop in the head note here that she came out and enjoyed it as one of your dinner guests.
Yeah, I used to work a lot as a private chef and I had done that particular meal was cooked for a very close friend of hers and Ina was a guest and it was the first time I met her. So I was quite nervous. And that was part of why I wanted to do like a really simple recipe that I knew, you know, I hope people would enjoy, but also something I could make ahead just so I knew that it was done and it was like, you know, something crossed off the list. I didn't have to worry about it just to help me feel calm just because I was so nervous. And then she told me she liked it, which like was just the greatest news ever. So that was great. I enjoyed that.
We're always trying to decide whether or not a recipe is blog worthy. I think that a thumbs up from Ina probably makes it cookbook worthy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. No, that meant a lot to me that she enjoyed it.
Well, I wanted to change directions just a little bit to more life versus food.
Sure.
In our last episode, we shared kind of our story with food and some of the life challenges that we've been through and how cooking and just a shared project together has helped us get through some pretty big challenges in our lives. Do you have any kind of personal challenge that you've overcome or has been influenced by just the way that you approach food?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously has been a constant in my life as it is in everyone's life. It's, you know, the one thing we all do or hopefully do every day is get to eat. and to me, it's been like the most grounding thing. And, you know, wherever I am, if I'm cooking, I feel like I'm home. So it's just, it's been this constant support in my life. But I would say in the last few years, it's definitely helped me navigate some personal changes. And I think I've really improved my own sort of healthy relationship with food. And like many women I've struggled with, or many people, I should say, I've struggled with my weight. And it's hard to balance such a deep love of food with, you know, a complicated relationship with one's body. And so that's something I've been very aware of and in tune with. But the thing that really was a big challenge that really involved food that kind of ties to this is nearly a year ago, not quite, my wife Grace was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and we completely overhauled the way we cook for and with each other, and just the way we eat at home and the food we keep at home. And it's been, you know, it has been tough at times just to, you know, figure it all out and go through that. But it's also been, there's been so many kind of silver linings to this situation. And we're now just living a day-to-day life that's so much healthier, and we're able to do it together. And food is definitely a really central part of that, to the point where we don't really like make a grocery list anymore, because we just know what we, you know, we'd go to the store and we just buy lots of produce and like as much as we can and whatever we want. And we get some, you know, things like chicken and fish and like lean protein, stuff like that. And it's just, we have this sort of like, it's almost like when you wear like a uniform, and it just makes like getting dressed so much easier. And, you know, whatever you choose from your closet is going to be a good choice because you've sort of edited it down, and you can still have variety within that. But it's like, you know, it's a sure thing. And that's kind of how we feel about like our pantry and our cooking now. And so that's been really definitely a challenge that we've, I think for sure we've met it. So that's great.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. It's definitely something we like, you know, we think about a lot at home.
Yeah.
And it's been a big change, but a really, really good one, really positive. So I'm really happy about that and just super proud of Grace. And she's just taking such great care of herself and in turn us, which is awesome.
Yeah. I think so many of us get to a point where we realize that we can't keep going with the same unhealthy approach to food. And that's been part of our story as well. So just being able to make that transformation is huge. So
that's
great that you guys have done that. Do you have any specific like surefire recipe that you love that's diabetes diet approved that you guys eat together?
There's quite a few things. What are some go-tos? We both love a lot of different like Asian foods and ingredients. And I would say the thing that we both love for breakfast, and Grace has been eating it like every day in a row lately, is just scrambled eggs that have some chopped kimchi folded into them. And that's a real, and you get like all the, you know, probiotics and all that stuff from kimchi, which is great. And it's like full of vitamin C and all these amazing things. But it's also just delicious. And it sort of makes this everyday thing, scrambled eggs, like a little bit more interesting and dynamic. And then one of my favorite things to make for dinner are basically kind of like a lettuce wrap kind of thing, like a lettuce cup. And I use like ground turkey or ground chicken and cook it until it's like really, really brown. And I like to add a lot of shallots to that. And then I just put a little fish sauce and soy sauce on it. And then we eat that like wrapped in lettuce. And sometimes I'll make like pickled carrots or cucumbers and fresh herbs and stuff. And you're essentially eating like a turkey burger with a salad, but it's like so much more interesting and delicious. So it's a fun meal to eat together. So those are like definitely two of our favorites and really easy.
Very cool. Thank you so much for joining us today, Julia. Yeah. I know you have to go actually watch Grace on Good Morning America. Yeah,
this is like the Proud Wife podcast, which I'm happy to do anytime. Oh,
awesome. All right. Sure. Well, I will share with our listeners all the details about your new book and where to contact you and follow you. And thanks again so much.
Thank you guys for having me. This was really fun.
It's a pleasure. Talk to you later.
Have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Crunchmaster. Crunchmaster is a full-flavored cracker made with wholesome ingredients and oven-baked for seriously crunchy satisfaction. Crunchmaster's premium snacks are certified gluten-free, 100% whole grain, and low in sugar to fit your healthy lifestyle.
If we have you over for dinner, you're probably getting some cheese and crackers as a little appetizer. And we love gluten-free because we know we don't have to worry about dietary preferences while preparing dinner.
And speaking of parties, these would be great to stock up on for all of your upcoming holiday parties in the months ahead.
Visit crunchmaster.com for recipes, coupons, and more.
I learned all sorts of small victories as I was perusing Julia's cookbook. And as I was doing so, I noticed a section that I don't often see in cookbooks. There's a give back section in the back. And she mentions that most cookbooks assume whoever's reading it has access to food and the time, energy, and means to cook. And how great would it be if that were the case for everyone? And so she lists a bunch of organizations that are working to combat hunger and social justice. So she mentions the Edible Schoolyard Project, if you've heard of that, Alliance to End Hunger. And actually, she does a shout out for a program here in Indianapolis, the Patachou Foundation, that helps with after school programs and school lunches for kids. So pretty cool. We love her heart and we're all about giving back as well. So that's just something to chew on. We wanted to share another recipe with you. That's a fun technique that we've carried through to a lot of different recipes of our own. It's actually also from Julia. It's the book that she co-wrote with Gwyneth Paltrow called It's All Good. And there is a recipe we found in there for scrambled tofu and black beans.
And we love this recipe not so much because it has the most incredible flavor, which it does, or because it is completely new and gourmet, but because it's something that you can do quickly and it's a technique that you can reuse over and over again, which is taking a can of black beans and making them taste really good.
Right. So basically you mince some garlic, you saute it in olive oil, and then you dump in black beans along with the canned liquid, which we thought was really interesting because generally when you use canned black beans, you rinse them, you drain them, and this recipe just has you dump all the canned liquid into the pot, which is great. It's easy. You throw in a few sprigs of cilantro and then you just simmer the beans for about 15 minutes. And after we made these beans for the first time, we loved them. We loved the flavor. And we've been kind of carrying them over into all sorts of recipes since then. So you can put them in a burrito bowl, you can stick them in a burrito, you can use them for tacos, you can do all sorts of things with them. So we thought it was a great recipe to share with you since it's so customizable. You can have it really with anything.
So you can find the link for these black beans and scrambled tofu to go with them on our site at acouplecooks.com. We'll include a link in the show notes. And before we go, we do have a giveaway today.
Yay.
Even a double giveaway.
Double giveaway.
Tell us all about it, Sonia.
Well, we're giving away, guess what? 2 copies of Small Victories. First of all, we're going to give away a copy to a national winner,
Do we ship to Canada?
No.
Okay. So US only. We apologize for any of you listening to us from around the world. But if you are, please tell us you are. We want to know what country you're in. Maybe someday we'll do a global giveaway. And then we want to give away one copy to a reader or listener here in Indianapolis.
Or somebody who wants to drive to Indianapolis to pick up this book.
Because we have it in our house. So we can arrange a meeting place here in Indianapolis and we can give it to you personally.
So to enter to win, go to acouplecookspodcast.com and click on this episode and follow the instructions in a little widget there on the page.
As always, Alex will ask a thought-provoking question, and it's so much fun for us to see your answer. So head on over to the podcast page, acouplecookspodcast.com.
And that's our show for today. Thank you for tuning in. As always, we really appreciate it if you leave a comment or a rating in your podcast app. Let others know that you enjoy the show. And more importantly, tell a friend who you think might enjoy listening to a good podcast about good food, good times.
Good times.
So much fun over here in the A Couple Cook studio.
Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time.